Hello, Cryptonauts, and welcome back to another episode of Cryptocurrency Chat. It is Wednesday, the last day of May in 2023. Look, can you believe it? We're 5 months down, only 7 months to go till 2023 is over, and we start the political whatever it's called thing. Anyways, this is episode 520.
Not only that, the halving's coming up next year.
Yes, the halving is coming, but so is Bitcoin 2024. Oh, Chris, let's talk about Pacific Bitcoin first. So Pacific Bitcoin will be happening at the end of this year in October, the beginning of October. And there will be lots of activity at Pacific Bitcoin. It is, after all, just Bitcoin. Only Bitcoin, Bitcoin alone, Bitcoin only, Bitcoin forever. Just ask Michael Saylor, even though he's not in the black anymore. So yeah, Bitcoin. Lots of people talking there. Greg Foss, Lynn Alden, Alex Gladstein, Preston, is it Push? Pish? Corey Clipston and Mark Cahodes, I hope that's right. I don't want to butcher anyone's names. I apologize. So yeah, admission. You can get your ticket, $550 right now, or you can get the expensive ticket of $2,800, which is a supposedly a savings of like $1,200. Yeah, lots of stuff to do. Fuji that has to do with Bitcoin, probably only buyable with Bitcoin, although I'm sure they'll take fiat just because they like to cater to people who don't understand Bitcoin. Anyways, lots of Bitcoin stuff. It's all Bitcoin stuff. It's only Bitcoin stuff, and it is in Los Angeles at the Santa Monica hangar, airport in the hangar. So get your tickets now. They're not refundable. Just so you know, you can't get your money back if you don't decide to go. And it's supposed to be a big banging thing in one gigantic hangar there in Santa Monica. And I also mentioned, as I said before, the Nashville Bitcoin conference will be in July of 2024, at the end of July. So you've got a little bit of time, like 14 months, because Bitcoin 2023 literally just finished. So if you went to that, you got to wait another year and a half. Well, a year and a quarter for the next Bitcoin conference. It will not be in Miami, but in Nashville. So check that out, too. Lots and lots of speakers, as John was mentioning pre-show. What, 300, right, John?
Yep, 301 to be exact.
Tons of stuff.
Michael Saylor's that extra one.
He counts for 100. Anyways, we've got news. You want to do news?
Yes, let's do news.
Let's do some news.
All right, first news. Here we go. Bitcoin millionaire found dead a week after going missing.
Dead millionaire.
Sound effects here.
Wah, wah. Oh, wait, that's not the right sound, is it?
No. It's, Oh, no! That's not what I wanted!
You hit the wrong button.
Okay, anyways. So, what happened here was it's an article about a doctor, an ER doctor, that loves his job, but he also was the founder of Onfo, which is a decentralized cryptocurrency. That can earn you crypto through network mining, which is a pretty cool idea. And he one day, I guess, went to work, never made it to work, and he never made it to a shift, according to this article. We got to put a name on him. It's Dr. John
Forsythe, yeah.
Forsythe.
The Y is an I sound.
So here we go. An ER doctor and crypto entrepreneur has been found dead in Arkansas more than a week after he went missing in Missouri. Dr. John Forsythe was the founder of Onfo, which promised to offer decentralized cryptocurrency that could be earned through network mining. And back in 2020, a Forbes profile named him Bitcoin Millionaire. Yeah.
So, per the last end of the article, they did say that he might have had some online enemies, but nobody really recognized those enemies as being valid until he went missing, as his brother was complaining and saying.
Yeah, but even then, I guess what happened was they ended up finding his body.
Yeah, with a hole in it.
Like, yeah, and from what the article's kind of aiming at, it's that's horrible. Is more of a self-inflicted gunshot wound, even though they don't want to say that directly because obviously there's still an investigation ongoing, but according to what the police are saying, that it doesn't look to be a foul play incident or any type of murder in this case. So he did recently complete a divorce, which might have been
He had seven kids. I think he was missing his kids, but I mean, I don't know if you kill yourself because you're missing your kids. I mean,
We don't know if he killed himself. He's recently engaged. You know, it's a tough article to read when you actually look at it. You know, it says right here, quote, "My brother has now been missing for a week. I'm grieving. I'm afraid. And it feels like the world has tipped into sheer chaos." Sister Tiffany Aldelin Forsyth wrote on Facebook on Monday, "I'm so afraid he's gone. Please don't let this be how this ends. The hole that will leave in my life will be empty forever."
Yep. That's sad. But yeah, they did find his body, so he didn't survive, unfortunately. Apparent gunshot wound was shot in the lake. No, it says local media reported that Forsyth's body was discovered with an apparent gunshot wound in lake in northwest Arkansas. So he's from Missouri, but he ended up in Arkansas. They don't say foul play had to do with this. So
I'm hoping that in the future we get an update on this and find out what happened to him.
I think this is probably will. We look into it.
Crypto related. This is why it's important not to really say how much you have in
crypto. Yes.
This is the most important thing. Never tell people.
You can be a secret millionaire to yourself. Know that you have what would be considered millions in fiat in the crypto space. You know, I think of myself as a crypto millionaire. I certainly have millions of coins.
Stop. I don't want to hear that you've gone missing, all right?
Well, people have to know who I am first. They still think, oh, excuse me. All right, anyways, that's enough about that. Let's move on to some AI talk here, which I'm personally not in favor of. But anyways, AI developers evoke Satoshi Nakamoto with Talk to Satoshi via a chatbot. Now, it's not that weird to think that it might be possible to dump an awful lot of information into a computer that would be able to mimic the idealism of Satoshi Nakamoto. They certainly could program the computer to act like the mythical person, Satoshi Nakamoto.
Basically what they did here, Satoshi GPT, they pretty much just dumped all of his emails.
Content.
All his content in there and a couple of books that were like purist Bitcoin reads. And that's how this Satoshi GPT calculates its response. It doesn't know everything currently. Certainly. Like, for example, Decrypt did ask it a question in regards to ordinals, but it doesn't have any current knowledge about that.
But I mean, would Satoshi Nakamoto himself actually know about that kind of stuff?
Yeah. What is crazy is that I've said for years that Satoshi is an AI from the future that went back in time to 2008 to give us Bitcoin. I said that for years, man. It's finally here.
Self-fulfilling prophecy.
This is going to be the genesis. This is going to be the Satoshi GPT is going to get so advanced, so smart. Because it's just the beginning. Obviously, they're going to keep compiling more data into it, you know, and it's going to get so advanced that it's going to be able to travel through the internet timeline and go back through a black worm back to 2008. Yes, that'd be wild.
Yeah, it'd be nice. It's a nice thought. Don't believe it, nevertheless.
So if you want to try it out, go to Talk to Satoshi and try it out yourself.
Yeah. So
cool.
Moving on to another thing. Hong Kong, UAE Central.
UAE Central Bank coordinates on crypto regulations. What? What's going on here? Well, I chose this article for a specific reason, showing you how the world, aside from America, where we reside, is moving forward and making regulation very transparent, very clear for businesses, individuals, in any capacity to understand what the government's expectations are, what the bank's expectations are, you know, what, you know, the tax regulations will be, you know. Other countries are doing that. So Hong Kong, the UAE, they came together to come up with the current crypto regulations. And Abu Dhabi's been very popular. Like, literally, if you go to Abu Dhabi today, tomorrow, next week, there is literally a crypto meetup every single day of the year, because that's how super active Abu Dhabi is in regards to crypto every single day of the year.
Yeah.
No joke.
They don't have to make their rules by a committee like we do over here. They just decide, okay, new rule.
Well, they're more open to the idea of adopting crypto. So yeah. They welcome all the businesses out there.
Yeah.
Right on. So yeah, there's some talk about ramping up a CBDC, which obviously I'm totally against. No CBDC. A good thing that we have some potential presidential candidates coming up here in the States that are anti CBDC, which is good. I applaud them for that. But what they're doing out there is looking at when I say over there, I'm talking about Hong Kong and the UAE. They're talking about obviously making that a reality out there and bringing more regulations in regards to crypto. And there's currently a CBDC in China, aside from Hong Kong. Obviously, it's not, or will most likely ever be adopted in Hong Kong, but pretty much in a lot of other regions in China, their ECYN CBDC token is pretty much being distributed regularly and being activated in different regions, right? I think they just activated another like 1.8 million, well, there's 1.7 million homes, you know, to adopt the ECYN.
Right.
So going back to this whole Hong Kong and UAE, they're working on building a bridge. What's it called? The M Bridge, right? It's a blockchain that supports CBDC bridging, multiple CBDCs. Because obviously every country out there is pretty much going to create their own CBDC because the states tend to be bullies to countries that don't follow their lead. And when a country doesn't bow down and says, hey, we want to stand up for our own rights, we want to have our own freedoms, you know, and when America says, no, if you don't follow us or follow what we do, then we're going to sanction you. And so that's where I think the whole CBDC came to fruition. It's other countries' freedom of expression.
Yeah,
and
they want to be able, I mean, in a sense, they want to be able to get around the United States. I know Russia certainly does. China certainly does. North Korea certainly does. They're just tired of the United States being the 8 billion pound gorilla that no one can get around or push over or anything like that. And I totally understand that. We have rules in this country that we think are fine, and they have rules in their country that they think are fine. They don't always mesh.
Yeah. So this whole idea of Enbridge, it's going to be, I think, a pretty cool technology where they're going to allow multiple countries to be able to bridge their CBDCs in exchange in real time, which is pretty crazy. It's pretty crazy that it's already at this stage. And we in the States have still not created one regulation of transparency for exchanges, let alone civilians. Right? What the hell? What are we supposed to do?
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're just worried about dude. I just, you know, if I bought a CryptoPunk or an ape or a banana, you know, an NFT or whatever, you know, what's the regulation on that? You know, like, let me know what's going on. You know, if they can't even regulate businesses, what about the people?
Right.
Yeah. Well, we'll see what happens here in the near future. This is pretty close, man. This is like in the near future. This is not in the future. This is like coming up like right around the corner.
Right. So, yeah, it's happening. It's not happening here. We're slow.
CBDCs will never happen here. That I don't think that'll ever.
Well, there's enough. Well, I don't know if there's enough people against it. But, yeah, at the moment, it doesn't seem like it's going to happen. Not to say that the guys from ADV China, well, China Show, rather, are talking about how everyone's like, wow, you know, China's got this, you know, e-China thing that they've been doing for all this time, and, like, they're, like, really future. I'm like, no, they're not. And the question was that I think Winston asked, he said, some guy is, like, who is exclaiming all this stuff. He's like, when was the last time you used cash? The guy's like, maybe 10 years ago. He's like, yeah. So you're saying that you have a digital currency now? He's like, yeah, I guess so. Yeah. The point is, the United States has been using digital currency since the 90s. If you can't pay with your, you know, Apple Pay and Android Pay have not been around that long, but using a credit card to pay for stuff, that's been happening for decades. It's nothing new. And those who went completely cashless, which was what they called it in the 90s and 80s, it's something that's been going on forever. So just the fact that it's possible with China's, what's it called, WeChat, to pay for anything, great. But that, and it's great to see it, that it's possible to pay with just one app for everything. But at the same time, you're saying, isn't that like a centralized, it is. It is a centralized system. But it's, what's worse about it in China is that that centralized system controls the people. It is literally the Big Brother surveillance system for the entirety of China. So that's the problem John has, primarily with Bitcoin, or not with Bitcoin, but with CBDC being the centralized unit of all transactions. Is
the surveillance ideology.
Yeah, yes. It's the surveillance part. I mean,
a CBDC that is very private with DIDs, where the government doesn't know when I take that money, mm-hmm. when I deposit or withdraw mm-hmm. or spend, okay, maybe it might work, but then why not just add privacy protocol to Bitcoin? Just use
right.
Bitcoin
right.
or Lightning Network, you know?
Yep. So, yeah. All right, so moving on to a Bitcoin standard. Well, actually, the Bitcoin standard author is now advising Nayib Bukele, the president of El Salvador. Amos told a local news outlet he's confident about the possibility that El Salvador will be free from debt in 5 to 10 years. That'd be great. That's a wonderful prospect. I doubt that's going to happen, but it'd be awesome. It'd be really awesome. In fact, we were just talking about this before the show, or no, it was the beginning of the show, was the idea of having the payment for the Bitcoin conference in Nashville next year to be paid exactly in 1 million Satoshis. Not some fractional amount that's above or below Satoshi, depending upon the value of fiat at the time. No, no, no. You're a Bitcoin conference. Charge people Bitcoin only.
If you go back to the website, you go to tickets.
Yeah.
You can see exactly there.
Yeah. All right. So maybe it's 2 million sats. But the point is, you should just charge a flat 2 million sats regardless of what fiat is. Just it doesn't matter what fiat is. This is a Bitcoin conference. Why do we care about fiat? We don't. Except the fact that everything's measured in fiat US dollars. Sad. Anyways, so this Bitcoin standard dude wrote the book, The Bitcoin Standard.
The Bitcoin
and
standard.
Of course, because of that, he's probably was invited to El Salvador to help out Nayib Bukele to work on his Bitcoin strategy. But
the book itself has been very successful. He's been offered that economics advisor position by the president. That's pretty interesting how a president can just come through and says, hey, we want to offer you this. Will you accept it? He said, yes, I will accept it, but I do not want to be paid for it. I want to just volunteer my time and my knowledge of how Bitcoin will help improve this country.
Right. This is a very noble thing to say and to do. He's so wealthy from having sold his book, he doesn't need the help of... of Nayib Bukele to advise him on Bitcoin. It's kind of a weird thing. I'm not saying it's entirely bad, but if you're doing well enough that you don't need a payment from the country, then he's probably just thinking, you know, this is an altruistic thing. I'm doing this to help people. No, I'm not saying he isn't. I'm just saying that it's noble. I'm going to just make one point about volunteering, and I'm not saying volunteering is bad. It's not. Volunteering is what you do in your spare time, not what you do for your job. If you have more than enough money and you don't need money, fine. But the thing I want to make a point of is that everything you do has value. You should never discount what you're doing. You should always recognize that what you do has value. And so what the guy is doing for El Salvador is of value. He just is discounting it himself.
Yeah. So let me try to take a shot at his name. Saifedean Amos. Okay. He is going to be volunteering his time as an economic advisor to El Salvador's National Bitcoin Office. The ticker on that is, or the not the ticker, the acronym for that is ONBTC. and it's going to be remote. So wherever he's at in the world, if he's ever summoned, I guess, if that's the term, to represent at the table of decisions on the country and Bitcoin, then, you know, he can just remote into it. He doesn't necessarily have to be there.
Right.
Which is pretty cool.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so he's helping
it's
him
awesome.
Out.
It's awesome that a country and governments can be like, you know what, this individual, regardless of having no, like, government status, we're going to give him that position because his book is very knowledgeable on what Bitcoin is. There's a Bitcoin purity there, and there might be an understanding of how this might improve a country.
Yep.
Let's add him to the advisor board.
Yeah.
Great. You know, that's a freaking amazing thing. That's awesome, dude. That's awesome that Bitcoin can do this to people.
Or for people. Anyways, moving on to brothers settle with SEC in Coinbase crypto insider trading case.
Yes, this has been going for a while. You want to hit this one or you want to take it?
You can say. Go ahead.
Okay, so yeah, this has actually been going for a while. We did talk about this multiple times. It was in regards to the insider trading at Coinbase. What was it, last year, 2 years ago? Mm-hmm. I think it was 2 years ago, right?
Yeah, a year and a half.
A year and a half ago.
Mm-hmm.
This was during, like, COVID, right? So there's some insider trading going on. Obviously, there's a pump and dump scheme going on with Coinbase. And it was quickly discovered that there was a couple brothers doing insider trading. It was, what's their names? It was Ishan Waki, his brother. No, yeah, his brother and their friend Samir Rahmani.
Mm-hmm.
They made over $1.5 million in investing in digital assets that were listed on Coinbase. Obviously, we knew that back those days, coins were pumping up. Like, literally, the hours before that they were released to the public, boom, it'll skyrocket like 500%. Then people would buy them, then they'll dump them on the people and just pretty much just rug pull everybody.
Right.
And what's crazy is that this dude is only getting like two years jail time.
Right.
Yeah.
It's a complete scam. Nevertheless, I mean, yes, it's insider trading, but at the same time, it's like, you know, there is a reason why we have these rules in place, is because you're making it unfair, and insider trading can easily enrich the people who are on the inside. But if you do that, then that's trading on information that no one else has, and that's the factor of what's happening here, and it's the reason people get sued over this.
What about FTX? Is that going to be rolling on the same boat here?
Yeah, of course. FTX, I mean, anytime you're doing trading on a system that you have information on, and you do not, and it has yet not been completed or offered to the public, then the public is being literally treated unfairly. In a sense, you're stealing from the public.
But SBF is claiming that he has no knowledge of there being any problems with his exchange.
What the man claims and what is truth is definitely not the same.
right.
So just because you don't want to be prosecuted doesn't mean that what you did was not wrong.
Right.
I mean,
I agree with you.
I get it if you didn't know any better. I get that. But ignorance of the law is no excuse, unfortunately, for Sam Bankman-Fried.
Yeah.
You were young and naive. Too bad.
I'm trying to conclude the fact that he probably won't be charged as harshly for, quote, not knowing. So he'll probably just get the same exact thing that these guys are getting 2 years.
It might be. I think, yes, white-collar crime are, sadly enough, almost always less, almost always less punitive than blue-collar crimes. And I do mean the difference between stealing billions from the people versus stealing $5 and stabbing a guy in the back. For some reason, stabbing people and or killing them is a lot worse in our law than stealing from people and making their lives terrible for decades. You know, you didn't kill the person, but you made their lives really bad.
To the point where they committed suicide.
Yeah, right. Well, they can't prove that, you know, that is what, that's a person's decision to do that. You didn't make them do that, but you created the environment for them to do it. So yeah, it's sad that white collar crimes are treated far less harshly than blue collar crimes. They're like, well, we want you to keep making money so that we can just take it from you in the future. So we'll just give you a short fine so you can get back out in the world and start making money again, because the government needs it.
So from what it looks like, he just has he just has to pay. He's going to do his 2 years and the payback. It looks close to about $1 million, I think.
Mm-hmm.
It looks like a little over. Yeah, I would say about $1 million.
Yeah, I still think fines criminal fines and civil fines should be percentage base of your total value or your total income.
He's going to be released by the time he's 35. He has enough years to really think things through. I'm like, you know what? I'm going to create my own token and rug everyone again.
That's what Ben Armstrong did, right? BitBoy, he made his own token and he rugged everybody on it. Well, he didn't rug it. He just sold all his own coin. He's like, oh, I won't sell my own coin.
Recently, right?
I know. That's what I'm saying. This guy's a dick.
Okay. I think I caught like a tweet on that. I didn't follow through with it. I don't really follow his stuff. Somebody did mention something about it. Yeah.
Yeah. No, I know. It's just it's not. I don't know. It might sound like I'm jealous, but I'm not jealous of assholes. I'm really not. So continuing on with our last article here, Bitcoin Ordinals has a new leader. He's ready to be its creator's shield. Bitcoin Ordinals subscriptions topped 10 million on Monday, and the new lead told Decrypt that he has plans to fill creator Casey Rodarmer's shoes. So what's going on with this, John, since you know Ordinals way more than I do?
Well, I did actually read this article.
Yeah, I didn't read it either.
I did read it, yeah. So basically what happened here is Casey's pretty much, he's a developer. He's not really the face he doesn't want to be the face of Ordinals. He wants to just be in the background, just work on GitHub code, and just do his thing on the back end. You know, Ordinals has gotten so big in the past couple months that it's that point that the representative of Ordinals needs to be answering calls, needs to be going to meetings, needs to be really talking about Ordinals and how it works and stuff. He doesn't want to be that guy. You know, he wants to just be the developer and just work on the back end.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so he's to that point where he's at his breaking limit. You know, he needs someone else to be a more representative that can be the face of it, and he can work on the back end. So that's why this title here says that there's a new shield, quote unquote, and that's going to be let's see, who was it? It was let's see, where's his name at here? Oh man, where's the
some random person?
Raph. So he's gonna be stepping up as the lead maintainer of Ordinals, and I'm assuming what that does is he's giving the keys to GitHub, yeah. Because the biggest problem that Casey is dealing with is that there's so many people pushing updates on GitHub that he doesn't have time to review that stuff and push it out. You know, he's just
he's so got 10 million Ordinals on the block now. So
code updates, and you know, so he's dealing with he just says he wants to deal with his own personal life and just do his own stuff on the back end. So now Raph, yeah, I pulled up his tweet here, or his Twitter account with Scooby-Doo on as his little image here. Yeah, so he's gonna be the new face. It's a new chapter for Ordinals, and we'll see where it goes from here, which is pretty cool.
Right.
Congratulations, Raph. Congrats.
So
and
be
congrats
it.
Congrats to everybody that has Ordinals and that's been part of the Ordinals ecosystem for 10 million.
Yep. So, yeah, that's the news for this Wednesday. Thank goodness it was quick and easy, sort of. Thank you all for tuning in to this relatively short news cycle.
Was it short? What did we...
Yeah, well, I guess it is 30 minutes. I guess it went fast for me. check out Bitcoin Nashville 2024 coming up a year, 14 months from now. Of course, Bitcoin Pacific Bitcoin will be happening in October, early October 2023. So not that far off. What is it? Late May now, early June. So what? 4.5 months or so? Four months? 4+ months? Basically, after summer is over, 5 months. 4 months. Anyways, October is the 10th month. We just finished the 5th month. Yeah, 4 months. and as always, we encourage you, if you will, to help this channel grow and donating coin. We appreciate your coin donations. We also appreciate some fiat donations, if you will. We haven't yet figured out how to make Patreon payable in Bitcoin. That would be amazing if it was possible. You can do it through BitPay. BitPay will accept your donation, but most of it goes through PayPal. You can check us out on YouTube if you're not already. You can check us on Twitch Live and see everything there, both pre- and post-show. Of course, all of our upcoming interviews, as we'll be doing, those will always be available on our Patreon page. You can get us on Twitch, and Odyssey. If you're listening on Spotify now, it used to be Anchor. What are you saying, John?
Odyssey.
And Odyssey, yes. Of course, you can always see us on Odyssey ad-free. Great place to check out all of our content. No ads will ever pop up on Odyssey that I know of. Maybe they're doing it now. I haven't seen a single ad since they started. And, of course, if you can't get an Odyssey, you can always get on a library. You just download the client and watch it on a library all you like. It's great. It's a great place to get content for free forever. So, thank you all for joining. As we'll say at the end of every single show, stack sats and hodl.
Adios.